This audio comes from the collections of the New Zealand AIDS Memorial Quilt.
This session is going to be a model school display programs. Each presenter will have 10 minutes to do the presentation, and there will be a 10-minute question and answers period after each presentation. And if necessary, at the end of the session, there will be another 15 minutes for questions and answers. So let's have the Australian AIDS Memorial Quilt talk to us about model school display programs.
Do I go there? The Australian AIDS Memorial Quilt Project was formed in September 1988 by Andrew Carter and Richard Johnson. It was a direct result of Andrew seeing the NAIMS Project quilt display in Atlanta, Georgia in 1987. We were the first project to form outside of the United States, and I believe that regrettably we are the largest. There are over 1,700 names on our quilt. To date, there has been 4,753 deaths in Australia, 18,782 people living with the HIV virus, and 5,737 living with AIDS. Our project has branches or chapters in every capital city and is administered by a board of directors. I am the education coordinator of the Sydney branch. Sydney is the capital of the state of New South Wales and the place with the highest concentration of people living with the HIV virus in Australia. In New South Wales, it is a part of the high school curriculum, which is grades 7 through to 12, that 25 hours a year be dedicated to personal development. A portion of that time has to address HIV/AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases. The Department of Education has developed a package for teachers to use. Teachers also have access to a number of organisations to help them fill this time. The Quilt Project is one of them. I have been doing these talks for the last 2 to 3 years as a volunteer, going into about 30 plus schools a year. Last year, our talks came to the attention of not only the New South Wales Department of Education, but also the New South Wales Department of Health through their AIDS and Infectious Diseases branch. The result of this was that this year, the education position has been funded for 20 hours a week, primarily to produce and implement a package that supplements the existing package that is supplied by the Department of Education. The package has also been devised to promote the 1995 AIDS Awareness Week activities in New South Wales. So, I'm the only person funded for their work with the quilt in Australia. It is my job to go into as many high schools as possible in New South Wales, of which there are 552. The length of a talk will vary from school to school, depending on the age and reaction of the students. On average, it lasts about 1 hour. In the talk, we cover the history of the NAIMS Project and the history of our quilt, and we use slides to help. We talk about why the quilt is important as a tool to facilitate the grieving process. We also take along a block and tell the stories of the people on it and explain the goals of the quilt, which leads us into discussions on safer sex and drug-taking activities, discrimination, self-esteem, HIV and pregnancy, and any other related issues. We have found that the quilt is indeed a very powerful tool in school education. The students always respond to it. sometimes negatively, but mostly with open hearts and open minds. And because I'm not the teacher that they see every day, they tend to ask me questions that they might not normally ask. I also tend to stay back afterwards because there is often a student who wants to talk to me in private, or simply because the students are hungry for as much information as they can get on HIV and AIDS. I mentioned before that there were other organisations that the schools can access. The two most prominent ones are All About AIDS, which mainly deals with transmission and direct healthcare issues and does a lot of work in the corporate sector, and the Positive Speakers Bureau, which is run out of the Sydney PLWHA offices. We do a lot of talks together. The three of us will go into a school for a day and talk up to 200 students each on a rotating basis. These days get a phenomenal response. They truly have a profound effect on the students, because there will be a talk about transmission in the morning. Then they'll be speaking to a positive speaker who will tell them about what it's like to live with the virus. And then they'll have me talking about the quilt. In situations like that, their feelings towards the quilt are immediate. Sometimes there are tears, often there is shock, and always there are questions. The quilt appears to provide a space for the students to talk about their fears and apprehensions surrounding HIV and AIDS. Of course, there is always an element of "it will never happen to me," and sometimes derogatory remarks are made by the tough boys at the back of the class about HIV/AIDS and homosexuality. But nothing that a loud voice and a sense of humour can't overcome. I remember a school I went to on the last day of the school year in 1993. There were about 30 students in this particular class. In the beginning, the tough boys were at the back and they weren't really paying attention. They slowly started to come around when I was showing the slides. And then when the block came out, they started moving to the front and began asking questions. They ended up sitting around the block, almost as if they wanted to protect it. Then at the end, they helped me pack up, thanked me for coming, and kept talking to me outside the front of the school until my taxi came. I consider that particular talk a great success. I think the most powerful element of the talks is the stories from the blocks. There is no better evidence than HIV/AIDS is about people than the quilt. It takes the virus out of the abstract and into reality. When the students see a picture of a person who has died on a panel lovingly stitched by someone who misses them, it touches them and reinforces the idea that they themselves are not immune. One of our main aims is to make sure that any decisions that the students make surrounding their sexual and drug-taking activities are educated ones. Rather than telling them how to put on a condom, we talk about the consequences if they don't. In the state of New South Wales, it is illegal to discriminate against someone because of their HIV status. or their perceived HIV status, their sexuality or their perceived sexuality. The quilt allows us to talk about these issues and helps to dispel the myths surrounding HIV and homosexuality. This year, the Quilt Project Sydney is aligned with the 1995 World AIDS Day School Poster Competition. Basically, students from around the state are invited to design a poster around the theme AIDS affects us all. There will be regional heats and a state final on World AIDS Day, with prize money for the winning poster and the school that it came from. The quilt is providing educational backup for participating schools. New South Wales is quite large, so to help me get into all of the high schools, all 552 of them, we are in the process of training fourth year social work and welfare students from the universities. They will help me give the educational talks and to promote the school poster competition. This will be their compulsory placement component that forms part of their degree. Also, we have planned small Priscilla tours. Those of you who have seen the movie Priscilla, Queen of the Desert will understand the reference. These tours will take in the rural parts of the state, where we will present the education package during the day and then have a small display at night, using 12 to 15 blocks, depending on the size of the halls being used. Hopefully, by the end of the year, we will have covered the state with the quilt. And every high school student in New South Wales will not only know about safe sex, but practice it as well. Of course, these talks don't just happen in schools. I have gone to universities, hospitals, churches, jails. As long as they give a donation, I'll go anywhere, anytime, and talk about the quilt. We have been extremely lucky to have the weight of the education and health departments behind us this year. This assistance not only provides dollars for the project, but reinforces the fact that the quilt works as an educational tool. I think it's quite an achievement that I can say that my state government supports us and our endeavours. Some of the results of these talks that I have given have been that in some schools, AIDS awareness groups have been set up. They make panels, they raise money for the Quilt Project and other community-based HIV/AIDS organisations. Also, now, a percentage of our volunteer base is students from schools where I have been. And finally, this year at the National Rock of Stedford, which is a government-funded quit smoking competition for high schools, where students put on a dance drama about issues that affect them, one school in Sydney has decided to do theirs on AIDS, and they're using the quilt. That's all.
Have you gone into any Catholic
schools? Yes. Catholic schools, Jewish schools, yes.
How did you get in? We cannot get in.
They asked us.
They asked you.
Yep. Yep. As a volunteer, I went into about 30 schools. So far this year, I've been into 30 schools.
I'm sorry, the question was how many schools do they go into every year?
The age group depends. I have gone and talked to kindergarten students because they had lost a peer, but mostly I'm talking to grades 7 through to 12, so 14, 15, 16, 17. They invite us.
Let me say the questions of people here. Carol asks, how do you initially get into schools? Do they invite you or do you make the effort of going
there? No, they invite us, always.
Jesus?
How come they invited you?
How come they invited you?
They invite us because the state of New South Wales is divided into health regions. And each health region has a HIV/AIDS coordinator. All of the HIV coordinators know that I exist. So when a school comes to them and says, help, they say, ring Sue. And also, I've left some pamphlets up the back. Every school in New South Wales is getting one of the blue ones.
Michael, and then Gar. Michael, go ahead.
Yep.
What answer? What was the question?
Sometimes you have negative reactions.
Oh,
what
okay.
do you do?
Okay.
I find out why they're being negative, and then I try to work through that with them. Sometimes they're being negative for attention only, so they can appear tough in front of the rest of the class. I just go with the flow. I see what they're asking. And if I can turn it into a joke, I'll do that. If it means because they don't know a piece of information and they're just assuming something, I'll set them right. But it depends on what the remark is.
We'll take one last question. Please write down your questions and you can ask Sue again at the end of the session. Gart? Gart asks, you say you always work with other organizations. Is that always the case, or do you go out independently?
Both. But the Positive Speakers Bureau promotes us, and we promote the Positive Speakers Bureau, and we try very often to go out together.
What do you mean by that?
12 by 12 section, whatever. Thank you.
Thank you. The next presenter is from Nam Chuwit in Thailand.
Swadee khap. Good afternoon. I'm going to talk something about Nam Chuwit. Nam Chuwit have an Art for Understanding Aid workshop set up in 1993 to work with the student in the school in the high school in Thailand, especially in the area that they have a serious time about AIDS, like in the northeastern. The years of the student that our workshop work with this the age about 15 to 18. And I'm going to talk about some small AIDS situation in Thailand. AIDS situation in Thailand has reached all areas of everyday life. It's like such like in the northern, one village, about 100 people, they have a people who infect with HIV for one people. Now every all area is faced to the people who are infected with AIDS. Although information has given for several years in radio, in television, in cable TV, newspaper, some small book, and pamphlets. But misunderstanding are still prevail, and this is have had many social consequence. Is there anybody in this room never sick before in your life? Lift up the hand. Is there anybody in this room never sick before? Lift up the hand. And who never see the sickness before? Lift up the hand. How? How? The people. She lift up the hand. There. You never see the sickness before?
Oh, the sickness.
Yeah, any sickness. This is the first question, first two questions we start in the workshop with the student.
Right.
And then we talk about when we was born, what is gonna come to concern our body. How many sickness, how many disease related with our body. And the workshop in the room gonna be provided in a group, small group, four or five people to discuss and to find five disease to make a presentation in front of the room for the student. What is the symptom? What is the carrier? What is the case of the disease? What is the disease that you feel you want to disclose it, or you want to undisclose it, and let them make a presentation, and we let the student who sit in the room and the patient, the student who present in front of the room, discuss of each other, and we help to control the question, to pause slowly and to control in the case of the disease that passed by. Or you can see your father, your mother, your sister, your brother have a sickness. And then the other part of a workshop start by setting the question, ask them if the people sit beside you have a disease that they want to be undisclosed, if you know by accident, for the first maybe the people have undisclosed, don't want the people to know. And if you know by accident, how you feel about him, how you feel about them, how do you relate with them? If you be diseased that undisclosed, how do you want the other people in this room to feel something about you? The answer comes from the student. We write on the board, and we let the people discuss about the words on the board. It's mixed with a national positive answer and negative answer. And we try to make a discuss between positive and negative, and make the people who are who would still be in negative of the answer is more positive. And when we finish, we not have a suggestion to the student what is right, what is wrong, but we try to push question to make the student try to discuss until it's more a little bit positive. And then it's the workshop with the volunteer. The volunteer who with HIV to sit down in an easy atmosphere and talking for some public health basement answer get from the student. How do they living each other? How do they take care of each other? How their a family take care of them? How they take care of their family also? Take care of each other. And it's talk like a almost like a basement that living together. And after this section, we tell some story, some of some people that that work with the group of the people with HIV and pass by. In the last part of workshop, we give the panel for the group of the student to paint their feeling, to paint how they think about the people. Who have not very good health, and the people who pass by HIV. You can ask the question.
Any questions for two? Enrique? Oh, Gabriela? Sí, yo puedo, sí. Gabriela wants to know, how do you get people involved? Do you invite them, or do you organize the groups ahead of time? How does that work?
Yeah, we do some a project to the Ministry of Education first. To have a support, like a paper, it's easy to get to show the project to the school. We send many school all around Thailand, and the school they have a budget, and they want to make a workshop. They answer, and we go to.
Janie.
Okay.
I'm sorry, do you have the skills? Jenny wants to know, in Thailand, are there the skills to do sex education? The schools do sex education in Thailand.
Sex education is part of education system, you mean? No. Just some part, a little bit. Just some part, a little bit. It's like a taboo for Buddhism. Because 90% of Thai is very, very strong Buddhism. It's gonna be like when I was young, I tried to find a sexual education by like a Playboy, like a video or something like this, and try to discuss with friend or some teacher who understand.
Guard. The question is, do you take the quilt only to schools or also to other groups?
For the quilt, we did a workshop in the school, in the factory, and in some group of the slum. But almost is in the school. But when we take quilt to show the school, it's not have much effect. Because the target that we point to the people who join the workshop. Every time we bring a quilt to the school just for show, it's not much effect. And many times we bring quilt to the conference in Thailand, it's only decoration.
Why is that?
Because they don't know. They're not related with the what is the quill is. Why it happened like this? Because the thing is always happen in the information was given by government. Always threaten. Always make you fear. Make you scared and easy to control. And this is, the quilt is just bright, just like a cartoon, like a decoration, beautiful. They have, they don't know what is this, what is gonna be concerned about is. Until they come to us and ask what is this, but not so many people. But we hope in the future the student that we did a workshop in the high school come up in the university, they're gonna make from group to group, from person to person, and they're gonna make some activity in the university by their own group. And if they still have a quilt exhibition, they can explain to the others.
We'll take the last two questions and then we'll go to our next presenter, Rob. Rob, what is your question?
If you don't have certification in school, so how do you get the information about who is sex and being HIV to the youth?
You said before that you don't have sex education in school, so how do you get information about HIV to the youth in your country?
For a presentation, the video is happen every day for take condom, just only say about the condom, it's not say something about the relationship from people to the people. Only if you go to the brothels, if you go with someone, only take condom.
We have to go on to the next presenter. Please write down your questions, we will have time after the last presentation. Thank you too. Our next speaker will be from the NAMES Project UK in Edinburgh.
Hola. My name's Annie. I'm one of the directors of the NAMES Project UK. That's the British AIDS Memorial Quilt. We're based in Edinburgh in Scotland, and we began on World AIDS Day 1988. We have an office and a workshop in Edinburgh and 9 quilt workshops around the country. We have a very high demand for displays, but we have very little money and since 1993, no paid staff at all. I'm here to talk about our education programme, and I'd like to thank Christina for saying much of what I was going to say. So, what I'd like to do is to expand a little on the thinking behind our education programme. I realise that for other countries, you're in very different and often difficult situations. In some countries, it is simply not possible for you to work in the way that we do. But it may be worth considering our approach as something perhaps for the future, and it may also be something that you could consider in terms of looking for funding from your own government. Education has always been fundamental to the work that we do. But equally central and equally fundamental is the involvement and participation of people who are themselves HIV positive. We're very lucky that there are people within Britain who are prepared to stand up and be open about their status. HIV positive people are the most appropriate people there are to talk about what it's like to live with HIV and what it means to be HIV positive. The fact that those people will be open about their status is very powerful, particularly in terms of education. Often it's the first time that a young person has met somebody who is HIV positive. And that in itself can be a very good experience for them. Our education pack was written in 1992 by a school head teacher called Gerald Cowan. The pack forms the basis of our education work, together with the experiences of positive people. The primary focus of our education pack is to talk about loss and bereavement. It's aimed at children between around about 7 and 15. And the starting point is children's own personal experience of loss. I find it very interesting that in the United States, the primary focus is on HIV prevention education. I think it indicates a difference in our cultures. In the UK, we start by talking about loss, what it means, how it feels, how we can help, and how we can support each other. With older young people, we talk about what it's like to live with HIV. I think that individual projects need to make their own decisions about where their starting point is. In Britain, children experience loss very early in life, in lots of different ways. could be divorce, moving house, death of a grandparent, all sorts of things. All sorts of things. Within schools, there are no real opportunities to discuss loss as an issue. Where it does arise is in situations of isolated crisis. A child dies within the school, a parent dies, there's a crisis. It's very difficult for teachers to handle. And we can help teachers in that by using the quilt as a starting point for discussion around loss and bereavement. That naturally leads on to discussion about issues around HIV and issues around HIV prevention. There are two main ways that we work with young people. School groups come to our public displays. Whenever we put on a display of the quilt, the local organisation will contact every school dealing with children from 7 to 18 in their area. We also take the quilt into schools. For both school visits to displays and visits to schools, whenever we can, we like HIV positive people to do the talking. We also use the worksheets that were mentioned earlier on. The worksheets are designed for children of different ages and different abilities. It may be, identify your favourite panel, draw the panel, and say why you like it. We have worksheets on specific panels. Find this panel in the display and answer these questions about it. Another one, draw something or someone that you've lost and then write down, how did that feel? I have to say that we get lots of pictures of dead hamsters and dead goldfish. But that's good. Because thinking about someone or something that those young people have lost personally helps them to understand why the quilt is important. We also use the letters that come with some of our panels, where we've been given permission. And those can also be very useful in preparatory work in the school before the quilt arrives. I guess one problem is that once you open the box, once you encourage children to talk about loss and their personal experience, you have to deal with what comes out. In many ways, our biggest problem in dealing with schools is dealing with teachers who fall apart in the corner and don't want the young people to see them in that state. What that highlights is the need for staff development, and as far as we can, we would try and encourage work with teachers before we ever get to the school, and support for them afterwards. I'd just like to give you one example of the results of feedback that we received from one visit to a school. Over 4 days, 500 young people between 11 and 16 saw a display of the quilt in their school. Workers went into individual classes, introduced the quilt, talked about HIV, what it's like to live with HIV, and took small groups around the display, telling them some of the stories from the panels. The display was also open during the lunch hours and one afternoon to parents. The feedback that we get whenever we do a display has always been positive. In this case, 206 young people completed a feedback questionnaire. Of those, 205 thought it was worthwhile to have the quilt in their school. And 205 thought that the quilt should be taken to other schools. 59% of those young people thought that the project had greatly helped to increase their understanding of issues around HIV and AIDS. And 81% thought that the project greatly helped to remove the stigma attached to HIV and AIDS. I think that that clearly demonstrates the value of the quilt as an educational tool. Just to bring things full circle, I'd like to quote from the introduction to the Education Pack. In his introduction, Gerald Cowan says, "Our role is to build upon the memory of those our communities have lost. To learn and to teach the social and the medical history of the epidemic as it happens. And to arm our people, especially our young, with knowledge, understanding and respect. In that hope, we foresee not only their personal protection in the future, but the building of a more aware and compassionate environment for those who have lost and are losing." Thank you.
Sorry, do you have a question or do you have a comment, Christina? Oh, so Jesus goes first and then next. The question is, you mentioned permission to go to the schools. Can you explain what is the process to get that permission?
Okay.
In general, we are approached by individual teachers and head teachers. In some areas, an education authority will fund a program of work within schools in their area. But
the comment is, so you don't take the initiative.
We have no paid workers and no money and no time. If we did have money and time and resources, we'd be there. Yeah. Yeah.
Christina's next, and Clement afterwards. Christina. Did anyone get the question?
Yeah, that.
Go ahead.
The question was essentially, have we worked with children who have lost parents to AIDS? Personally, I haven't. I don't know, actually, whether other people have. It is certainly something that we're going to have to consider for the future.
Clement, you had a question. The question is, how would you approach to educate a particular group of people? The example given is doctors who are even afraid of touching the people with HIV. Is that correct? So how would you approach getting to those particular groups?
I wish I knew. I think that would be my answer. I think where you have a community, a group who don't want to know, the route to those people has to be through their decision makers, their policy makers. They have to be told by their bosses that they have to listen. I'm not sure, I don't know is the answer to that one.
Because what from what I've heard is people come to you because they know that they need you. But now when you identify that there is a need to address the situation, how do you approach that?
I think we would
Let me repeat the question as well. Clement says, when you identify the need to get to a particular group, how do you approach that group?
Right.
What you have identified?
Generally, I think we would approach workers within that community already, and try and encourage those people to introduce discussion. An alternative would be to simply put on a quilt display and stand back and allow people to decide for themselves whether they want to take things any further. Oh. Said something
there
right.
You go. Rob had a question. Do you still have it? Okay. Now, we have 15 minutes of questions for all three of our presenters. And I know that before, Andre and Enrique both had questions for two. Do you still have questions? Jesus has a question. Okay. Annie, the question is for you. The question is for Annie. You said that you work with the teachers before. What you said is before you go there, what kind of material or what is the process that will get you to that point of, you know, working with the teachers?
It's a combination. Does this thing work? It's a combination, really. Sometimes we would send information, other times, and preferably, we would go and meet the teachers, talk to them about what was going to happen, and try to talk to them about how they're going to feel about having the display in their school, and to try and prepare them for the emotional impact of the display itself. Often teachers who approach us have seen the quilt before and are aware of the emotional impact that it can have for them.
Gart has a question. Do you do this all over the country, and how do you organize it or pay for it since you don't have people or money?
The way that we get some money is to charge organisations for us to bring the quilt to their community. And in doing that, part of the package is that we will go into local schools. We don't have enough money to operate a comprehensive program. I wish we did. Yes, we do it all over the country. We go anywhere that anybody asks us to, if we can get there.
Chico had a question. The question is for two. And Enrique wants to know, he has heard that in Thailand there exists quite a lot of young male prostitution. And if that is the case, are you able to reach those groups, and how do you do it?
For young men, in sex work, for the young men in sex work, it's a part of empower. Empower is the part of Nam Chivit is the part of empower. Empower is working for the woman who is the sex worker, and some part of like a man in sex workshop. It's just like a get information by a book, by a brochure from Empower, and there are some group of organization in Thailand called Sen Si Khao, or mean white road or something. There's a gay group to work with the workshop with the like a jazz dance workshop with educating about AIDS group.
Just as a point of clarification, for those of you who don't know, Empower is an organization in Thailand, in Bangkok, that works mainly with commercial sex workers. So the program that covers women sex workers also covers men, and they are approach or their outreach to by means of brochures and written material. And theater, Marcus. Okay. Denny? Did everyone get the question?
Yeah, I
Do you have, the question is, do you have experience about displaying the quilt in school as well as to the general public, all in one space, at the same time? Yes. And it's for either one of you.
Yes, and we're both yes. going, yes.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Generally, with the NAMES Project UK, we work with local HIV support organisations, and they organise the display. It is their display of the AIDS Memorial quilt, not our display. Do you understand that distinction? Because the quilt exists for everybody, and it belongs to everybody, and it's essential that local communities feel that it is something that is for them. And that they are part of. So yes, we work within local communities, with local community groups, and within schools at the same time.
Ditto. Exactly the same. We often have big displays that is the Bobby Gold, for instance, the Bobby Goldsmith Foundation invites you to an entire display of the Australian AIDS Memorial Quilt. We do things like that, which helps raise money for us and for the Bobby Goldsmith Foundation.
Well, for add for understanding, we also did in the factory and in the slum also, and we display the quilt from the student every the 1st of December, World AIDS Day, every year.
Warren had a question.
Have you ever had a cultural group that thinks that it just will not happen to them? And if so, how do you get past that?
The question is, in the schools, have you ever had a group which thinks that AIDS will not happen to them
culturally? Yeah, culturally.
And then how do you get past that? And who is the question for? All of you.
Which one should I
go? Fight for that mic.
I can give you a specific. We're trying to get the message across to the Muslim community of New South Wales, in fact, Australia, and how I do that with the students. You have to be very, very, very careful. Because if you say things the wrong way, you're putting a slur on the whole culture. So if I know that I'm going to a school and specifically targeting Muslim girls or Muslim boys, I will do a lot of homework beforehand and go and speak to other HIV/AIDS workers who work with Muslim groups, and will speak to Muslim leaders and the Islamic Women's Association, and get as much of the cultural information that I can get and use that and their blessing to go in and try and do it.
Mark had a question.
My question, this is a question.
Andre has a question. The question is, how do you get the kids and the schools involved in making the panels?
We send the project, our project, to many schools around Thailand. What we're doing about it is education. And if some school ready to do the workshop, they answer and we go. If some school don't want to join the workshop yet, they say no. Like?
The question is more about the students themselves. How do you get the students to be interested in making the panels?
How do you make the student interest to make the panel? From the first that I'm tell about the workshop, and then the workshop would insist include we gonna let them painting and keep the panel for painting, that they make a collaboration work already, because it's the part of a workshop. Everything every student join with it.
We have 2 minutes left. Carol Jacobs had a question. The question is, how do you get past the parents? Since in South Africa this is a big problem. Who's the question for, Carol? Either one of you.
I can tell you this. We had an area just outside of Sydney that was very antagonistic towards HIV/AIDS. They'd had a very bad experience in their community, and we needed to target that area. And the way that we got in is that we went to the school at night and gave the talk that we were going to give to the students, to them first. They could ask whatever they wanted. We told them whatever they needed to know. We laid down a bit of ground rules, worked out our parameters, and got it so everybody was comfortable with what was going to happen.
Clement has a question. The question is, it seems that it's easier to reach the schools. How do you reach the out-of-school youth? How do you reach the dropouts who are probably more vulnerable? Who's the question for? Either one. Yeah.
Okay.
We've left information and posters around all the youth shelters and the youth workshops, and where we know homeless youths go, and places, you know, where basically where we know that they go, and the social workers that work with them as well. And then the social workers will get them into a group if they want, and we'll go and talk to them. But we make sure that they get as much information, if they want it, as the students in schools.
The comment is, he imagines the situation where the youth themselves cannot read or write and social services are not available.
I think the way that we would approach that is to try to, and it's all about making whatever efforts you can. Yeah? We're by no means perfect. Try to put on public displays of the quilt that are open and accessible, and to make sure that there are directions to get to that display. So we have banners outside, the doors are always open, and so on and so forth. But it is very, very difficult to reach those people. But I think the only way you can really do it is by opening up the quilt and the display to everybody, and trying not to limit access to anybody. And I know it's not a perfect answer, and I don't really have a perfect answer for it.
That's all the time we have for now. Please write down your questions, and you can always ask the questions to the presenters during the break time or after the presentations are over. Thank you all very much.